something had happened and he rushed to change shirts, and then a phone rang while he was changing his shirt and sat down at the desk to take the phone call. Life photographer or some photographer took the picture. Life ran it as a double page spread in color. Terrible picture.
I'd be mad at that.
Well, he should be. But, you know, he probably thinks it's good. Part of his cancer or something.
Send me an extra copy of the one copy now of the section on foreign policy that you just sent over. My copy, yes.
Yes, sir.
he's got to obviously talk to it to make me an issue and to say that everything I'm doing is motivated by partisan.
But maybe you shouldn't go at all.
But I think as long as I stay close to the president, I'm always...
You can't stay close to the president.
But I can go to social functions and I can go to things that...
You'll be pressed at all the social functions.
Well, I don't mind talking to... I always talk to the president, but I just wonder whether it's a good idea for me to go on national television from the Republican.
Tomorrow we're not talking about that.
Well,
you mean, you already do a program? Social functions. I don't think it makes any difference. You can go to anything, whatever he wants to go of those, and
either McGovern, Clark, or Salinger, or the support of the Congress, or so forth and so on.
You mean in 2 weeks you're going to announce my trip to Moscow? That's going to take McGovern out of the news again for a week. And in many ways...
He's whispering again that you're jumping.
Exactly, so right. The more I can appear as the man who's only got the national interest at heart.
That's right.
And then my idea is that come October, I have been so outraged, I have borne all these accusations.
Right.
I'll be so outraged, I'll say I can't, for the sake of the national interest, I try to keep out of it because it's the nation's foreign policy, but it can't be entrusted to this man. So now,
right.
That's when I thought I'd shoot my bullet.
Right. Okay. Then
you shouldn't do any scheduled interviews at the convention.
No, that's right. I would not. One thing I would not do, I would not have any. In other words, they will all ask.
Can they already have
tape? Turn them all down.
Not tape. They've all asked for live. They all want Henry to come.
No.
You don't do a live interview with.
No, if you do any interview, they're not interested, basically, in what the good things. They're only interested in getting to these points.
They will do that needling me about me. Why don't you get rid of the truck? Why don't you do that?
But if you have any interview at all, I think you've got to let them, you've got to be seen. But any interview and so forth has got to be in terms.
We'll have to have Ziegler put
some good man on this. It's got to be in terms of they just happen to come up to you. Because if you do an interview, like for example, the Cobbs or Cronkite or something like that, first you're wasting it. It's just totally wasted. And second, you can't say the things that need to be said now. This is not the time for you to do that.
At the end of this of September, when I come back from Moscow, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. I want to make that
right. I understand.
But my thought was at the end of September, if I went on a public service type program, on a network, but on a, and I've been in Moscow, the talks would be going on. They'll ask me all the nasty questions, and then I can really kill them.
That's the time to do it, too.
And that time...
So I would do nothing at this point. I would simply... I start with this rule. Turn down all interviews. Right, Henry? Turn down
That's all my instinct.
Well, all right. I think it's not a good instinct. It's just the right thing to do. Just turn it down. Say, no, he's there. He's there as a guest of the convention, and he's not there in any...
You see, these guys look so tolerated.
He's a guest of the convention. He's there with the rest of the president's staff.
Yeah, with the president's staff.
Whenever the president travels, I'm with him. I'm with him.
That's right.
And then it's only natural that I'd want to be there for his acceptance speech, for his nomination.
Yeah. That's we established that posture. That'll work fine. Then it doesn't make any difference what you do or what you don't do as far as the non-conventional, non-auditorium facilities are concerned, activities are concerned. Because it won't.
I thought I'd talk to these young people.
Great. That would be ideal.
Great. That I would definitely do.
I think that, will that be televised, Bob?
It might be.
It's all right with me.
I just don't think it'd be good for me to be televised.
All right,
you don't have any option.
No.
These aren't controlled situations.
I would know that it just was not
televised. But if the television comes, it's not a closed meeting. It's not planned to be televised.
Well, you play it like you want if you don't feel comfortable.
But I think
we can't control it.
I
other parts.
They're not getting anywhere.
But they're not getting anywhere with it. The people don't believe it. The people don't think it's junk. Right. They think it's brainwork. Did you see the picture this morning of you on meeting with the Tanaka Christ on the front page of the goddamn Times?
But that's why. This week. But this is why when on September 5th you announced that I'm going to Moscow, we should still have preserved that possession.
Yeah.
You see?
Right. Since you are totally aware of it, then my feeling is that these are the rules you should follow. Except for the youth thing, where I think it would just be great for them to hear you, and I wouldn't worry too much about whether the television catches a little of that. Because they aren't going to run a poll, you understand?
They won't be online.
They won't be online. It'll be in the middle of the day. And they'll kind of report it. It'll be kind of a looking in, and that's why you can do it. But the other thing, except for that, I would do no interview period, for example. Now, so there's one that is totally shut out under no circumstances. If Myra McLaughlin comes up, there's a reason. There's a reason. She is not even, you're just to turn away and turn your back. Myra Walters can come up. You can be nice to her. You can be nice to her.
Actually, Myra McLaughlin, I agree with you, but I think she's actually helped Mrs. Nixon because the questions were nasty. I just read the news accounts. I didn't see it on television.
It was better on television because Mrs. Nixon does a super job.
But I think in the news.
Yeah, but it isn't fair. Mrs. Nixon shouldn't be put in the position that you and the president and others are perfectly willing to be put in. It wouldn't go over that way. That's
I think it was outrageous.
Well, not in the White House.
Confident, you know what you're doing, positive, I wouldn't make it.
basic point is because it's a hell of a cheer line is whether or not to say that without mentioning the government that the United States will always be strong and we will never beg an enemy for mercy, whatever the level one covered by implication with the begging line. Ziegler feels very strongly that would be a mistake, mainly because he says not because it's right. There are the other ways people will be doing this, but he says if I do it, he's afraid that if that the press there, he says that's sort of one of those things where they first they would be for begging, begins with that. Second, he just doesn't think that I ought to take him on that. So I asked him to prepare language on begging. The word begging means being entangled. The word begging that they didn't want. Alright. I had the same reaction. Alright. But I asked for alternate language on begging. Would you rather wait a while to go over this? Do you want to go have your breakfast and everything?
I've had my breakfast.
Yeah. Now, Andrew's worked on something, but I don't think it goes. My standard in foreign policy, like that of five presidents before me, Republican and Democratic alike, is this. That in all of our dealings with other nations, the United States must do nothing which would erode our self-respect as a free people, nothing which would weaken the integrity of American democratic institutions, nothing that would demean the dignity of America's elected leaders. Wherever they have gone, whatever they have done, whether in council with their allies, in battle with enemies, or negotiated their adversaries, my predecessors from Roosevelt and Johnson have always conducted this policy, this country's policy, with firmness, confidence, and with honor. No president's with a good conscience to otherwise, and I'm in office, no president.
No one will know what you're talking about.
Let me put it another way.
Then I'd rather use the word bang, quite honestly.
What I was trying to do there was pick up what you had said from his, you know, trying to play off your five presidents.
Yeah.
And well, now I kind of missed it.
Well, no. He's a hell of a guy. He has the point. But
he's a right. Letter in.
Yeah.
I must say, on the bank, I think that Ron is right about the press's reaction.
See how you like this is a difference.
You may be right about the people reaction, too.
I hear that.
This is a direct kick.
I turn now to an issue of overriding importance,
not only in this election, but for generations to come, the progress we have made in building a structure of peace in the world. This is my introduction to the foreign policy section. We put it last, obviously. And I'll give you the whole thing. But I start like this. Peace is too important for partisan politics.
Good.
I was just going to say, there have been five presidents. They had differences on some issues, but they were united in their conviction that the United States should have a defense second to none in the world. They were united in their total opposition to isolation for America and in their belief that the interests of the United States and the interests of world peace require that America be strong enough and intelligent enough to assume the responsibilities of leadership in the world community. They were all men who hated war and who were dedicated.
I would say because without that there can be no peace in the world.
I know, I cover that.
Yes,
I know. But they were all men who hated war and who were dedicated to peace. But not one of these five men, and no president in our history, believed that America should ask an enemy for peace on terms that would betray our allies and destroy respect for the United States and the world. I pledge that I shall always uphold that splendid tradition.
I like that.
That says the making thing.
That's
loud and clear, but says it in the positive side.
I wouldn't just say betray our allies alone. I said betray our allies, accept our enemies' terms.
But I understand. I then discuss Vietnam. Vietnam has all come in here.
I like the tone of this.
Standing in this convention. You can read this.
I like the tone of this.
This is strong.
But that's the tone that I...
I don't know whether there's the subtlety is apparent to you, Bob, or not, of the difference in tone.
Totally.
I don't mean it's any that much better. His is better writing, but mine's better speaking.
His voice the better no one would understand. Yours makes a point. McGovern can say he agrees with Andrew's statement. He cannot say that he agrees with your statement.
That's a key point. That's challenging.
have gone the extra mile, in fact, tens of thousands of miles, to seek peace in the negotiating front. We have offered a ceasefire, a total withdrawal of all American forces in exchange of all prisoners of war, international supervised free elections, and participation in those elections in the Congress. We have offered everything to the enemy that any honorable nation could offer. There are three things we have not and will not do. We will never abandon our POWs. We will not join with our enemies in imposing a communist government on our allies, the 17 million people of South Vietnam. We will not.
is something so unmanly about
that. I have
the speeches.
And I have the listening. I am proud of this record, but I'm not satisfied. A record is nothing to stand on, but not an example. It's something to build upon, which we always have to say. But this, listen to this. The choice in this election is not between radical change and no change. The choice is between change that works and change that won't work.
That allows the lips on this. And I think somewhere you ought to consider saying, cottage.